I've got them all written tonight, and I'm going to keep you until I'm done with them all. No? Gosh. 324, that's almost a scripture for every day of the week and every day of the year. How many, 365? Well, we're close, aren't we? We're just a little over that amount if we put the Old and the New Testament together. It is really important, and I'll tell you what is really bothering me here, so you can get a feeling. Am I going to be okay with this? Because I know I'm going to really have a hard time staying behind this mic. And I want you to watch my time, too. I don't want to run over. We here? The thing that really troubles me, we are living in a perverse generation today. I started ministering this gospel 40 years ago, and I thought it was bad then. When I gave my life to the Lord, and the kind of background that I came from as a drug addict and alcoholic, a third generation, fourth generation alcoholic and so forth like that, and the things that were going on that I was involved in, that I saw going on in the world at that time, because I was one of those people that said there was no hope without dope. And I was really the one that I looked in the mirror, I carried him with me all the time, the dope. And I didn't realize that till later on in my life. And I came to the realization of what an idiot I was. And I saw all this stuff going on around me, and it's multiplied, and it's multiplied, and it's multiplied. And now it is, I want to use this very generally, in the church. There are a lot of things going on that we used to keep out in the world that are now are infiltrating and trying to infiltrate in our very lives within the church itself. And I believe that we need to have a very healthy fear of God. I found this out personally in my own life. So this isn't something I'm telling you about because I think it's good because somebody else did it. But I found it out through my relationship with God that when I am lacking a fear of God, I am lacking the relationship with God and its completeness that I need to have, because the fear of God will do things for me and help me to accomplish things that cannot be done or accomplished any other way. It's really important to understand this. This is not old-fashioned. Notice it said, "Don't fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." Wow. I mean, we could stop there, but I'm not going to. I'm going to read on, and I hope by the time I leave you tonight, you're going to be so filled up with this that it is going to follow you wherever you go, and you're not going to be able to get away from it. Because I believe that it will help to revolutionize your life and take you in depth in relationship with God and with other people to be more effective for God and with other people than you have ever been before. And I can tell you, we are going to need that in these coming days. We are going to need the fear of God like we have never needed it in these coming days, with decisions that we are going to have to make in our lives. It says, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." This is David speaking in the Psalms. It is an amazing thing to think that David is talking about teaching the fear of God. But in the reality of it, that's what helped him to be so successful in conquering his enemies. Because he had a fear of God and a reverence for God and his word. And you cannot separate the fear of God from the word of God. You cannot separate the Spirit and the Holy Spirit of God from the word of God. They are tied together. And we are living in an age when people are seeking for spiritual things. And they are disconnecting the Spirit from the Word. That is a very dangerous thing. And the reason why they've done it is because they don't have a healthy fear of God. They don't have a healthy fear of God. You would talk to these people and they'd say, "Oh yes, God is love." But you'd say, "Well, is God to be feared?" Well, I don't know about that. But the Bible does know about it. And the Bible speaks a lot about it. So I'm going to read you a few scriptures here. And we're going to cover some territory here. And then I'm going to try to get into some examples. Psalms 119:38, David said, "Establish thy word unto thy servant who is dedicated to thy fear," or devoted to thy fear. Notice what he says. "Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear." You do not disconnect the word of God from the fear of God, or the fear of God from the word of God. They are worked together to bring us to a relationship of God with God that we need to be successful. Notice what it says in Proverbs 15:33 about the fear of the Lord. "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom." Now, I know you've heard this a lot, and we can read the scripture, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." It doesn't say that in this scripture. It says the fear of the Lord is the instruction, say it with me, is the instruction of wisdom. That's the fear of the Lord. That is the instruction of wisdom. The instruction of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Think about this. Put on your thinking cap tonight. We're in the Word. The Bible said, "Preach the Word." "I charge before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and coming." We forget sometimes that the Lord is going to be our judge. He said, "Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time shall come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll be turned from the truth unto fables, and they'll believe a lie and be damned, because they have no love for the truth. But watch thee in all things, keep thyself, be diligent to make your calling and election sure." That's what we want to do. We want to be diligent. Fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Notice this, that the knowledge of the holy is understanding. There is a tie-in here between the Word of God, the fear of God, and a holy God. The thing that separates us, between us and God, the greatest barrier that we have to face is God's holiness. And God was not any less holy when he hung on Calvary. God never lost his holiness in his incarnation. When the demons saw him, they said, "Holy One of Israel." Why? Because they knew he was holy. They had no question about his holiness. But he shared his life with us. His holy life with us, and he wants for us to have a holy life, because that's the only way you and I can have a relationship with God. And we're going to talk about that more. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Notice this. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Wow. How many of you would like some wisdom? You know, the Bible says wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So we need that. Knowledge is important to us. Wisdom is important to us. Understanding is important. This is all based upon our relationship of fear, the fear of God. You can't separate them. If somebody tells you they have wisdom outside of the fear of God, they're a liar. They're a deceiver. The wisdom that cometh from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easily to be entreated, without partiality, full of good fruits. But the Bible says the wisdom that is of the earth is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And if you follow somebody, the Bible says by their fruits they'll be known. And they may seem real wise and knowledgeable and understanding, but where are they going to take you? Where are they going to take you? You want to go somewhere, don't you? We're heading somewhere, aren't we? I sure want to get there. And I can tell you I've almost lost my way because of this issue right here, the fear of the Lord. I can remember one time very plainly, Brother Putnam, a number of years ago when I was going through some difficulties in my life, and I got down and I was praying and seeking God, and I was repenting, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Brother O'Neill, let's get something straight here. I do not have to forgive you. Now, some of you don't think that's true. But God does not have to. His forgiveness is based upon criteria, believe it or not. One of those things is that we forgive others as he forgives us. And one of the quickest ways to lose the forgiveness of God is not have the right, correct forgiveness in your heart. That should put some fear in your life. That should put some respect in your life. Instead of God being used as a doormat to wipe your feet off on. And that's exactly what happened in my life. God spoke to me and scared the liver out of me. I mean, he scared me good. And I believe that it changed some things in my life. And I still see that ongoing transformation because I am not trying to lose the fear of God. I'm trying to inquire more of the fear of God because I want to draw closer to God. And when he said, come into his gate with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, I want to do that. But the Bible also says that we should do this in the fear, in his fear. We'll talk about that in just a minute as well. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. That's Psalms 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do. Say do. Say do. A wise man built his house upon a rock, and the floods came. And that house didn't fall. Why? Because it was built upon a rock. It says, if you hear my words and do them, you'll be like a wise man. It's not good enough just to sit in here and get a bunch of knowledge. You know, the Bible says, you know, that in the last days, this is going to be an attitude of people. They'll be ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The devil doesn't want you to come to the knowledge of the truth. One of the things that are going to bring you to the knowledge of the truth and a relationship with God that'll keep you through the difficulties, through the hardship, is going to be learning the fear of God. A reverence for God, a respect for God. In fact, the Bible says that we should even fear and tremble at his word. The Bible says a book of remembrance was written before him for those that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Think about that. A book of remembrance was written before him for those that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Now, notice what it says in, I believe this is Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. It prolongeth days. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Now, if you don't want to be visited with evil, then you need to develop a fear of God. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. David said this, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Think about this. The transgression of the wicked saith, when somebody transgresses the word of God continually, whether they're in the church or out of the church, doesn't matter. I know that the Bible says that the reign of God falls on the just and the unjust. And I know that the Bible says that there is no fear in love. And that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. But when it says a fear in that New Testament verse, it's speaking of timidity, being timid. It says fear, timidity. It is not fear, reverence, and respect for God. So you can't say that the Holy Ghost is going to take away fear. No, the Holy Ghost isn't going to take away fear. Because if a Holy Spirit of God moves upon such a wretched person as you and I with such a basic, sinful, base nature, one of the first things that we should feel is a reverential fear of God. Now, I don't mind that. I don't mean to sound, I don't mean this to be offensive. And we talk about the good old days sometimes. And I just want to refer you to something that we went through out in Rapid City, South Dakota many years ago, Brother Superintendent, I'm pointing to him, Brother Putnam. We had tremendous moves of God, just like we're having here. Healings, miracles, things of this nature. There were times in our services, and we didn't have a big building like this. We had a smaller building, and we had the windows open, and we were close to a campus, between a campus, two campuses actually there in Rapid City. And we would start worshiping the Lord, and the presence of God would come down at times where people would be gathered on the street listening to the music and watching the worship through the open windows. And I was out there witnessing the people, and I watched them jump up and run in mass across the street to get to that building under the power of God, the influence of God, sweeping outside of the streets. We would have moves of God like we're having here, but one thing that we haven't had here yet, and we may have yet, and maybe you've had in some of your prayer meetings, but we would have the presence of God come down in the place where people would be on the pew, under their pews, and on the floor, and the whole church would be laid out in the fear of God. You wouldn't want to move. You wouldn't hardly breathe because you could feel God's presence. And God was dealing with us and drawing us closer to Him. His awesome presence would come down. His Shekinah glory would come down in such a powerful way that you would be afraid, that you would be fearful. And you say, how would that help you? Because you learn respect for God. There's a time for every purpose under heaven, folks. And there's a time to really fear God and respect Him. And this is something I believe we're going to need when we're faced with a lot of situations and circumstances in our life. And I can tell you, I look out in the world, and I don't care what people tell me, when they're transgressing the Word of God, when they're breaking the Word of God, when they're in disrespect to the Word of God, when they're making fun of the Word of God, when they're belittling the Word of God, I don't care who they are. I'll tell you what I think right up here in my little brain if I don't say it with my mouth. Those people don't respect God. They don't fear God. It doesn't matter who it is. And we've had a lot of people lately, and we're having a lot more people lately that are teaching things that are in conflict, total conflict with the Word of God. And you and I have got to wake up. We have got to wake up to realize everybody that says they love Jesus don't love Jesus. That should put some fear in us. We've got enemies we don't even know about. That was one of the things about Vietnam, and I know some of you were in Iraq and some of these other places. You didn't know who was your enemy and who wasn't. We had little kids come up to us. They could have well blown us up as done anything else. You never knew. One of the most horrendous times I had was when I came over the top of a hill in a village that we was quarantined because of the VC were all over in it, and a little girl came walking right down the path. I grabbed my rifle up and put it on automatic. I was getting ready to pull the trigger. I'd have killed the little girl, probably 7 or 8 years old, maybe younger than that, because I feared for my life. And a Vietnamese soldier that was beside me that I was working with said, no, don't shoot, don't shoot. And that's what stopped me. Because you didn't know. And I can tell you today, you have a lot of people talking all kinds of talk. All kinds of spiritual things. They want to take you all kinds of places. They want you to do all kinds of things with them. They want you to pray all kinds of prayers with them. But you better be careful where it's taking you. Where are you going to go with it? Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Wow. How many of you like that? Riches? Please, don't raise your hand if you want to be rich. I say that right? Most of us, you know, we would love to be rich. All of us probably would say, yeah, I'd like to be rich, you know. Honor. We like to be honored and to have real life. Where do you find it? By humility and the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now let's talk about this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Say it with me. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Does God hate evil? He hates it. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Now, if you want to get on the wrong side of God, here's the formula. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So, just mess around with evil. Go play the Ouija board. Get out the tarot cards. Go to a seance. Go down to the house where the witch works and play the tarot cards. Go to the horoscope in your newspaper and follow that for a while. You don't fear God if you do those kind of things. You don't have a healthy understanding of what's going on. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. God hates those things. It doesn't matter what person, if they have those kind of characteristics, attributes, mark them. They got a problem. They don't have the fear of God. How many of you have heard some people lately on the radio, on the TV set, in the newspaper that have this problem? They're proud. They're arrogant. You know, we got to mark these people. By notice 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Let's follow this. This is a really important one. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. But by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Let me talk to you about this for just a minute. Sometimes people get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's, I believe, where mercy and truth, through that mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Through that new birth, iniquity is purged. But it says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When you get out of that baptistry, when you get done getting filled with the Holy Ghost, whether it be here in church or in your home, you are going to be faced with problems and difficulty and wickedness and evil. But it says the fear of the Lord is going to help you to depart from evil. How many of you want to depart from evil? It's important. How do you know how to depart from evil if you don't even know what evil is? And that's why the devil hates the Bible. The Bible makes a difference between good and evil, the righteous and the unrighteous, the holy and the profane, the just and the unjust. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. They don't make their beds with evil. They depart from, they flee from it, but only by the fear of the Lord. You say, well, I love God too much. Oh, let's be honest. How many times did you love God too much and did things that you knew you shouldn't have done, and the fear of God came on you and said, shame on you. You shouldn't have been there. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have watched that. You shouldn't have seen that. You shouldn't have heard that. You shouldn't have said that. You better thank God if the fear of God got on you. If the fear of God didn't get on you, I'll guarantee you what, you're sitting here not afraid. And I hope you get afraid before I leave, or we leave tonight, and the presence of God leaves tonight, because the fear of the Lord is going to draw you to a deeper relationship and commitment with God. Oh, I got to move along. The last part of Isaiah 33:6 says, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Oh, Do you want God's treasure? How many of you want God's treasure? What does it say? The fear of the Lord is his treasure. treasure. Now, you can read that any way you want to read it. And you can cut it any way you want to cut it. But what he's saying, God wants to give you his treasure. It is the fear of the Lord, brother. There is a treasure in the fear of the Lord. What can you find in the treasure box of the fear of the Lord? Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, riches, honor, life. Wow. What more do you want? Who wants less than any of what I just named? Who could use a little less wisdom? A little less knowledge, a little less understanding, a little less honor, a little less life, a little less riches. Probably none of us. We'd say, bring it on. Well, here it is. Open the treasure box. Within that treasure box, the fear of the Lord. Carry it with you wherever you go. Reach into it and use its resources.
Did I? I'm just starting. Ooh, I'm just starting. Good. How many are with me? Oh, I've got a lot of this done. I'm halfway through, too. I want to go back for just a minute. Some of you by now have thought, well, he's really gone off the deep end. Turn with me to Isaiah, the 11th chapter. Isaiah, the 11th chapter. If I could, if I knew that I would be dead tomorrow, and I had anything to preach, I would feel as comfortable preaching this as anything else. If I could not say another word to help you, if I didn't have another chance to minister to you, if somehow God would spark you to consider what we're saying, turn with me, Isaiah 11. See if you can recognize who this is. Verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Who is this speaking of? Who is this speaking of? Jesus. Say Jesus. You say, was Jesus afraid? Absolutely he was afraid. Yes, he was. He had a fear of God. A respect for God. An understanding of who God was and what this flesh was. And what this flesh could do. Because the flesh that he robed himself in had the potential of destroying for eternity the rest of our relationship with God. Or it had the opportunity to free us from the bondage of sin. And so the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding that he had, the counsel and the might was all tempered in the fear of the Lord. You could read it this way and it would be correct. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. What? The Spirit of the Lord. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you've got the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is resting upon you. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, that word and can be translated even. Almost every time you see that word and in the Scripture, it can be translated even. So you could say even the Spirit of the Lord or the fear of the Lord. Even the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is what did this. Remember, God lives by his own words. God lives by his own principles. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord
is what gives you understanding. Could it come to Jesus any less, in any less way than to us? Would God say, I'm going to do it one way when I come in the flesh and I expect you to do it another way? No. Have I lost you? See, when Jesus came, I'll show you here. I'll take you there in the scripture instead of just talking here. Because I want to let the word dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The word has the ability to change us. It's the seed. Now notice this, the third verse, and shall make him quick of understanding in the fear of the Lord. You want to be quick of understanding? You've got to have the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. That's what we have a problem with. We look at things, we see things, we let what we hear and what we see sway us. He didn't do that because he based his decisions on the fear of God. That was his measuring. And the fear of God had to do with the Word of God. Remember, Scripture said in John 1:1, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then it said in the 14th verse, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But the basis for which he moved in wisdom and knowledge and understanding and in counsel and in might was in the fear of the Lord. That was his premise. You say, oh, that's wrong. It was in the love of God. No! The Bible says it was in the fear of the Lord. You're a liar, Satan. He moved in the fear of God. And when he moved in the fear of God, in obedience to God, he proved his love to God. You never in the scripture find Jesus saying he loved the Father. You will never find that in the Bible. You know why? Because it's not there. We think it's there, but he never verbally said, I love the Father. The closest thing he said, and I believe it was John, about the 16th chapter, you can look it up for yourself if you want to. He said, I'm going to go do the will of my Father. I'm going to go do his will. See, we're short on that sometimes. We come to church and we can get a lot of, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. All packed into this service. But we walk out the door, the cigarettes are popping out, and we find the closest liquor bottle or drugs or pornography, or go home and watch the football games and the baseball games and learn the scores of all our heroes and learn the songs of all the people. Well, maybe we should be memorizing the Word of God. We should be hiding the Word of God in our heart. You know why we do all that? You know why I used to do all that? You know why I have to be careful not to do that? Because I want to respect God and love God, and I want to have a fear of God. And the world doesn't have it. The Bible says, you know what about the world? The whole world lieth in wickedness. What? Yeah. The whole world. That doesn't mean part of the world, or a quarter of the world, or half the world, or a fourth of the world, or this administration, or that last administration. It says the whole world. India, China, Poland, Germany, Czechoslovakia, Romania, Bulgaria, Yugoslavia, the whole world, South America, China, North America. We live in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. No wonder the Lord said in the book of John, 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I can tell you why we start loving the world, because we don't fear God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
You can cut that any way you want. You can try to ignore it, but it's still in the book. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, but my football game, my basketball game, my movie stars. Those special songs I like so much by those people that are so important that when I turn on the internet, I'm bombarded with that garbage. I can't get away from it. Have you ever felt that way? Going to the drugstores. You know, look on the billboards. I mean, if you go on and on and on. How are we going to keep from this? The fear of the Lord and to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the forward mouth do I hate. I remember one time I was teaching a man from China Bible study and invited me down to Milwaukee to a cousin of his who had a restaurant, Chinese restaurant, and for a Saturday. And then he said, there's a bus that takes us and we go somewhere when it's all done, and he can already speak English, and so I didn't know what was going on. He took me to the ball field. I had never been to a ball game before. I never want to go again. I have no business being there. I felt so out of place. I couldn't imagine the amount of liquor that people were consuming, let alone watching the football game. The amount of money that they were paying for the hot dogs and the hamburgers, because I heard them. The rounds of drinks that people were buying for one another. How could they even pay attention to the game? Getting really, 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 really quiet. Maybe I'm just an old-fashioned preacher. Maybe I'm just getting out of style here. Hebrews, the fifth chapter, if you'll turn there, please. Hebrews, the fifth chapter. Oh, my, what time is it? Oh, I got. Do I have a few more minutes? I haven't paid the attention for a while. It's got almost 10 after. Hebrews, the fifth chapter. My, where can I go? Now, this is speaking of Jesus. We'll start in the fifth chapter, the seventh verse of Hebrews. Who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Now, you gotta. The connection has got to be wrong. This can't be Jesus. How many of you think it was? Who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Well, that's fine. And he was heard in that what? Take fear out of the equation. You want your prayer to be unanswered real quick? Take fear out of the equation. We can get so into God that we think every time we tell God something, he's got to jump and do it. And some of us have a problem. I got a problem with that. I got all kinds of things going on in my life. And I say, my Lord, what is this? Why are you allowing this? Why is all this happening? Why? But I have got to remember the basis for the relationship of my Redeemer, God manifest in the flesh, was a relationship based on the fear of the Lord, Brother Putnam. Somehow I've got to equate that to my life. He didn't say that he loved. He said that he feared. Hey, this wouldn't preach in a lot of churches. It wouldn't preach. Job 28:28. We're getting ready to close here. I knew I would never finish this, but that's all right. God knows what's going on. Job 28:28. And unto him he said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And depart from evil, that is understanding." There is a connection between the fear of the Lord and wisdom and understanding and departing from evil. May I say to you in all sincerity, possibly the problem that you're struggling with coming in and out of the church, up and down like a yo-yo in your life, is because you have not got a healthy fear of God. The psalmist David said, "Come with me and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." The Bible says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Psalms 2:11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." Psalms 5:7. I want to take you just to a couple of scriptures in the New Testament here to verify before we close out. Because I know a lot of you are saying you spent most of your time in the Old Testament, and that's the Old Testament God. But the Bible says, "Work out your own salvation." Philippians 2, I believe it's about 10. "With fear and trembling, for the Lord worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and approximately the 14th verse, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath light with darkness? What communion hath, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them." Who? God said, "I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Notice there is a change in that scripture. He did say that he was God, but then he said he wanted to be your father. That being your father is based upon your obedience to come out from among them. Because if you remember, we are called into a kingdom, Brother Punzel. Not a democratic society, not a republic. It's not communism. It is not socialism. It will never change. As far as we understand, there will always be a kingdom. There will always be a king. And we should always fear the king. Don't you think that's what happened with Satan? He decided he didn't need to fear God anymore. He would just put his throne above God's throne. But notice in the 7th chapter of that same 7th chapter of 2 Corinthians, it says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." You have been called to holiness. 1 Peter says, about the 2nd chapter, I think, I'm not exactly sure now what the verse is, but it says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober." And it talks about waiting for the hope, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It says, "As obedient children, not fashion yourselves after your former lust and your ignorance,
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call upon the Father, who without respect of person judgeth every man, he is going to judge every man. Keep the time of your sojourning here in fear. For you know that you were not bought with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, by your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, and of the Lamb without blemish, and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, who raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Keep the time of your sojourning here in fear. Funny, he didn't say keep the time of your sojourning here in the love of God. The Apostle Paul said, after my departure shall many grievous wolves enter into the flock. Peter says that there were false prophets, and there shall be in your day false teachers who will bring in damnable heresies, forbidding to marry and to abstain from things that God has given to be received with thanksgiving of them that love and know the truth. We are 2,000 years from Calvary. We're on the brink of the coming of the Lord, the catching away of the bride of Christ. And the enemy of our soul is very alive and real, doing everything that he possibly can to keep you from manifesting the presence of God. The Bible says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we all, with an open face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory as of by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what the Lord is doing here right now. You're feeling that troubling. You're feeling that God speaking to you. What's he trying to do? He's trying to change you into his image. Maybe one of the things you were missing that we found out that Jesus had in abundance was the fear of the Lord. How many of you realized before this meeting how important the fear of the Lord was in the ministry of Christ? There's a few of you. But it was an important ingredient for him to have the revival that he had in his own life in order to bring your salvation. The restoration of truth that came through Christ. Now, I've got to close, and I told you I would. You'll stand. I won't be able to read these, but I'm going to give you some scriptures to read. If you want to look at these, one of the scripture areas we know real well is Acts 2:38. If you'll turn with me in Acts 2:38. Sent unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You know, there's some things that God cannot do without our help. We have got to save ourselves. There's relationships that we need to break. There's things that we watch and listen to and see and hear and get involved in that we have got to be willing to give up, to spend that time and that commitment to God and that effectiveness to do the will of God. Do you think we're living in an untoward generation? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers and fear. Oh, shut up, Brother O'Neill. Where did fear come from? They were having revival. Oh, and fear came upon every soul. And fear came upon every soul. I thought they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but fear came with the Holy Ghost. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Possibly, pre-adventure, maybe, the signs and wonders had to do with the fear of God. Maybe it's that the respect for God came over them, that God was just able to pour out signs and wonders. You say, Brother O'Neill, but you're late. It's already happened. No, my pastor said, don't talk about what God's done. Talk about what he's going to do. We can talk about what he's done, but we can talk about what he's going to do, but we can also talk about what he's doing right now. So if you take time to read Acts 5, 5 through 11, and Acts 9, 31, and Acts 19, 17, each of these scriptures will talk to you. And it will talk to you about the people of God in the early church walking in the fear of the Lord.